Hi, this is Haley Barbaritz, and I am a student with Western Carolina University's Master of Entrepreneurship program, and I'm here today interviewing Josh Odey. Josh, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. So today we're going to learn a little bit about Josh and what he does with Innovative Solutions. Josh, what is your current position with Innovative Solutions?
I am the Chief Operating Officer of Innovative Solutions.
And what do those duties entail for the most part?
Primarily, we handle a lot of fabrication and manufacturing for the nuclear industry. So my role is responsible from taking customers' requests from start to the entire life cycle of that project, overseeing anybody in the operations, which includes engineers, fabricators, manufacturing, and anything under that entire umbrella.
Oh, very good. So what were your prior endeavors before coming to Innovative Solutions? And do you feel like your experience with those endeavors prepared you for the things that you're doing today?
Well, that's a good question. I do feel like a lot of my experiences have served me well here at Innovative Solutions. One of my previous roles was a director of integration and implementation at a previous company. And basically what that meant, we would primarily a marketing company, and we would go around and find other companies that were either struggling, either financially or operationally, and me and my team would go in and we would do the operational due diligence for those companies to determine how well they may fit into our footprint so we could buy those companies. So we would do the due diligence on that, and that would look at everything from their books all the way down to primarily their operational functions to determine how well they operated, how closely their operations may mirror our current operations, and how we could marry them in to see if they were a good fit. So we'd make recommendations to the board of directors. They would purchase these companies, and then once they would purchase these companies, it was our responsibility to go in, and we would then integrate and implement those policies across the board. So in a lot of cases, people would think that, hey, you're buying that company, so they're just going to do everything we're doing. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, that's true. But what you find when you get out there in the world is that they may be a competitor or you know, someone you're competing against, but they have good ideas too. They have good policies. They have good procedures. So you'd really look at all those things across the board and determine which policies, procedures, operational things were best for the new enterprise, and you would roll those out against across the entire enterprise. So having that experience has served me well, because coming into this role here, each day is different, each customer is different, each project we work on different. So being able to see those things and find the best approach to each project is unique, and I think that has served me well here in this role. It also, I've dealt with a lot of people in different endeavors, all walks of life, from, you know, kids fresh out of high school, in some cases still in high school, through people who, you know, were 30 years my senior. So having that broad range of people I've worked with has really served me well here, because same thing here. I have people who work, report to me, who have been doing, who are experts in their field for longer than I've been alive. So that's really helped me being able to work with those folks. I certainly do think those previous endeavors have helped me be successful here.
Okay. And how, if you don't mind me asking, how were you recruited by Insolves?
That's a great question, and it probably doesn't have a traditional a response. Certainly wasn't a headhunter or anything fun like that. Steve Barbaritz, who at the time was the CEO of the company, I had some outside of work relationships with him. We both served on Little League football boards and through sports and things like that. So we had some interactions together and served on those boards, and just one thing leads to the next, and that kind of parlayed into where we're at today.
Yeah. So. Well, as we're learning in class, like, some of the, you know, best relationships that, you know, people find partners for working with are not the traditional interview. You know, it is outside networking and even business networking. So, yeah, that's, even though it's not traditional, it seems to have worked out.
Yeah, definitely pretty true in this case.
So when you're building a team in manufacturing, what characteristics are you looking for when choosing employees?
Well, that's another good question. And, even taking the word manufacturing, I think building a team, I've built a lot of teams in the past, and you know, some of the things I look for, whether it's here or other places, is first you want to look for people who are multi-talented. You know, the last thing you want to do is find somebody who is, and although you need people to be experts in certain things, and most people are, you have to have people who are multi-talented and enjoy doing other things. So they got to be talented folks. I know that sounds probably straightforward and sounds a lot easier than it truly is. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest things I look for is, especially in the manufacturing side, are people who really enjoy it. I mean, yeah, people need jobs, they need careers, they need to take care of their family, but you need to find people who enjoy what they're doing. Right. You know, so they, we have folks back there now that they get into work and they really enjoy getting their hands dirty. They love to see the end product. That's something that if they weren't here, they'd probably be at home tinkering in their garage or playing with stuff,
right.
You know, playing with CNC machines. So finding folks that really do enjoy that, I think, is very important when building these teams. And it may not be a traditional characteristic, but finding those folks that they don't want to come to a job, they want to have a career, and they really want to enjoy what they're doing. So that's real important for me to find when we're going through a interview process or selection process.
Right. In our class, we're also talking about hiring A players, so hiring people who are going to give their best and, you know, have some passion for the work that they're doing. And what kind of personality traits do you think that an A player should, per se, have?
You know, it's funny you talk about A, you know, going back a little bit to my previous experiences, one of the things as part of the integration implementation, The reality of it is when you merge businesses, you have to reduce staff a lot of times. You're not a one for one. So you would look at, we have 20 people here who are our A players, our B players, and our C players. You know,
right.
C players, unfortunately, we have to make tough decisions, and we look for those A players and say, you know, how can we either continue to keep these folks as A players or get the B folks to A players? So you look at the traits of those individuals, and you'll find that a lot of those traits are across the entire board. A players have a lot of those same traits. So, finding those folks that have those things, and like I said, going back to the characteristics, that folks that enjoy it, people who are smart and have other experiences, I think plays well into those traits of A players.
Right.
The last thing you want to do, I think, in my opinion, is to find folks that are that have only done one thing. I look for folks that are, you know, have a broad scope of things, because it makes them more well-rounded, and I think that contributes to their ability to be A players. And then, of course, you know, you look at type A personalities in general, and I think that kind of contributes to A players. They don't have to be a type A personality, don't get me wrong, but I think that you'll find that a lot of those A players in our world oftentimes are those folks that are type A personalities too. So
right.
I think that plays into it as well.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. So on the flip side, what do you feel is the most important trait to have when managing?
Well, that's a tough question to answer in a lot of cases, because I think that, you know, managing in general, I liken it more towards just a pure leadership role. You know, managing to me, when you say the word, it's almost like you're just being a fast food manager and you're assembly line manager, and you're just, you know, it's very simple. Hey, you didn't do that very specifically. So I like to look at more of a, you know, a leadership role. But in that sense, I think the biggest or most important trait that I feel is important is probably self-awareness. And what I mean by that is, knowing that, yeah, I may be the quote-unquote manager, but in order to get things done, you need people around you to get things done. And to be self-aware, to know that I'm not always the smartest person in the room. There's going to be better people, and finding those better people and hiring smarter and better people than I am, because that's what it takes to get things done. You can't be afraid or not self-aware enough to believe you're the smartest person. So I think self-awareness is very important if you're going to build a successful team.
Yeah. Well, as you discussed, you know, you already had managing experience before you came to Insolves.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some things that have changed from the beginning of your job, whether that was your previous job to now? So how has your mindset changed, you know, stepping into a managing position from the beginning to the end?
Yeah.
For now.
You know, I think the entire ethos of the organization has changed since I started here 4 years ago. You know, when I first started, we were primarily a service company, and we were, you know, we weren't in our infancy by any stretch, and we were well established, but we were still in a reactive mode where we wanted to be everything to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so changing that ethos and that culture of the organization over the last 4 years has really been impactful. We're no longer primarily a service company. We've moved more into the specialized manufacturing, and we really become more of a, this is who we are, and this is what we do well, so let's go out and find those customers, and let's stay in that niche, as opposed to every customer that comes in the door. Could we do what they're asking for? Sure, we probably could, but it's not who we are. It's not what we want to be. So right. I think that culture has been the biggest shift, the seismic shift in the organization since I first started, and I think it's been a positive one.
Yeah, absolutely. Being the head of operations, what department or departments would you say that you work closest to, and why? So what is your involvement with other departments?
Well, I'm highly involved in all departments due to the nature of my my work, but I would say business development is the closest, and the reason business development and I work the closest together is because the life cycle of projects can be so long. So what happens is we get a request for a quote or a proposal from a customer, and we respond to that. Mm-hmm. By the time we may win that project, to start on that project, in some cases we could be talking 6 months. So being able to see down the line and see the future of where we're going and what we have coming down the pike is very important. So businesses development and I work closely together to say, hey, here's what's coming down. Here's what we need to go after.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how, you know, busy we're going to be, the capacity we have. So we work very closely together. And then also giving them feedback to say, you know, they're going out trying to find customers for us or find work and saying, hey, this isn't the type of work we do, or this isn't what we need to get into, or we need more work like this. This is the most profitable work for us, or most enjoyable work for us in some cases. So certainly work closely with business development.
Okay, perfect. What part about being the COO do you enjoy the most?
Well, kind of as I alluded to a moment ago, I think the life cycle of an entire project. I really like seeing, you know, especially in today's world, things happen so fast, and that's true in our world as well. But there's being able to see from customer conception on their, you know, request for quote, hey, this is what we're thinking and this is what we want done,
mm-hmm.
all the way through the life cycle of that project to its completed unit. You know, the great thing about manufacturing or fabrication is there's something at the end. You know, you work in software and you know, you have an output and you have a product at the end, but you don't get to touch it, you don't get to feel it. We get that. So I really enjoy that, and being able to see it go from this conceptual design
mm-hmm.
to something that we can actually use or, you know, touch, feel type thing. So I really enjoy that.
Yeah. Well, Insolves is a growing company, so you're managing multiple projects. How do you stay organized with allocating time to each project in order to reach certain due dates?
That's great, and I think that's always a challenge of any manager who has you know, multiple things. And you know, you plan and you trust. So what I mean by that is you put a plan together, and you know, you have to change that plan sometimes. You know, things happen and stuff, but you put a plan, you try to stick to that plan, and then you just trust your folks. You know, I have 5 different project managers that are working on different projects, and those project managers probably have anywhere from 2 to 5 different projects they're working on. So being able to trust them to do their job and the folks in the actual manufacturing side to do their job is important. But just keeping that plan and looking at that plan, and the last thing we want to do is become reactive to something. Things are not going to always go as you plan, as everyone knows from life. So, but staying the course, you put a plan in place, let's stay with the plan, and let's go. And of course I use a lot of tools to help do that, whether it's Microsoft Project or any of these new fancy cloud-based tools they have. So plan and trust is really what we operate under.
That's pretty much what business is. What role do you play in interacting with customers?
Oftentimes I work in a liaison role, mm-hmm. you know, with a customer. Usually I deal with the customer in the upfront process. So business development will get they'll make the initial contact, and whether they get it sent to me for the request for proposal or whatever it is, I then work with the customer to figure out exactly what they want. Let's say they give us a conceptual design. They want this built.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll take it to our engineers and we'll sit down and look at them. So what they're asking for may not even be possible or whatever it is. And I'll go back to them and I work with the customer from that standpoint. And then I act as the contract manager for a lot of our contracts to ensure that we live up to our end of the bargain. And of course, they live up to their end of the bargain. So it starts out in a liaison role, working between their buyer, their contract manager, and our team. And then it turns into oftentimes the contract management side of it.
Okay. You didn't have any experience with manufacturing before Innovative Solutions, did you?
No, I did not.
So was it kind of just like a learn-as-you-go kind of thing with picking up? You know, you have to know some things about the projects to be able to, you know, translate what the customer wants. Was that just picking it up as you went along?
You are exactly right. You know, getting in and getting your hands dirty. And, you know, I've been back there and working with the guys to figure out, you know, what is this piece of machinery? What can it do? What, you know, because you're right. I had no experience with that. That was new to me. And it was learn as you go and kind of feet to fire and, you know, trial by fire and all those great things you can say about it. So, it was just getting back there and kind of seeing what they were doing and, you know, trying to soak it all in and in some cases try to help where I could and learn things and, you know, just kind of pick it up as you go.
Yeah. I mean, we're learning that a lot of things involved with business is really just on the fly. There's not a lot that can prepare you for the next thing that you might jump into. You know what I mean?
Well, and you can't, and that's the thing. I mean, you put these plans in place or you think that the thing about going to, like, school, college, wherever you go is, you know, you can put all these things in practice and principle and on paper, it's one thing. But when you get out in the real world, you realize that nothing ever goes like that. So a lot of trial by fire in business. But the one thing that I will say is people are people. It doesn't matter if you're working in manufacturing or working at, you know, IBM or, you know, Google or wherever. People are people, and being able to talk to people, I think, is the universal language that doesn't change whatever you're doing. So I had that for me, and that's probably the strongest thing I have going, so I think that helps. But, yeah, you're right. You kind of have to learn as you go, and no matter what plan you put in place, it usually gets blown up, and you have to you have to change and react, and that's just how you have to do it.
Yeah. Well, what is the most rewarding part of your job?
You know, the thing I love the most about InSolves or Innovative Solutions is that we are a family business, as you know, and we offer a very good job here in an area that may not have a lot of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, manufacturing in the country has been dying for the last 25 years, and it's starting to come back slowly, but the type of manufacturing we do is very unique. But so being able to offer a good job for folks in this area it is really important to me and really rewarding to me. Seeing, you know, we have guys in a shop that just graduated high school. To show them that they can have a good career, not a job, but a career. We offer a lot of things here that other companies don't offer, big companies don't offer, whether it's in terms of a perk package or, you know, whatever it may be. So it's rewarding for me to see a small family business be able to operate in the world we're in and stay here locally. And I know many folks that have to travel 2 hours away to get a good job, and, you know, they're spending 4.5 hours in a car each day. So it's rewarding for me to see us be able to continue this and offer good jobs to local people here.
Yeah, it also gives a good reputation to the area, too.
It really does, and there, you know, every area needs good publicity and good reputation. I think hopefully we're contributing to that in a positive way.
Yeah, I think so. So every day you can't come into work and be excited about what you're doing. I think it's just a little bit of the wear and tear of the job. But how do you stay motivated when you start feeling this way?
Yeah, you're right. It's tough to stay motivated anywhere. You know, it really is. And you look at the things that are great about your job. And, of course, all jobs have the drawbacks. But I think for me, kind of back to what you said earlier, I had no manufacturing experience. So one of the things that keeps me motivated is I have a little bit of a chip on my shoulder that I do want to prove that I can do what I'm doing because I don't have the background that some other of these folks have. So I want to do that. And the other thing is, back to being the small family business, I want to prove that we're the best in terms of, you know, quality, reputation, all those things. So striving every day to do that. We're not worldwide. We're not even, in some cases statewide. Yeah, we have projects in different states, but Google, everybody knows who Google is. Well, not everybody even in our area knows who Insolves right. is. So getting to that point, I think, so striving each day to get to that point to where we're known, kind of keeps that chip on your shoulder and helps us stay motivated, or at least me stay motivated.
Yeah. So on a more negative side, what are some steps or actions that you take when handling conflicts, if there are any conflicts?
Well, luckily, there aren't a lot of internal conflicts that we have here, which is great, and I think it's a tribute to the team that we've built, both before me and during my tenure here, and a testament to the folks that we have here. But the reality is there's going to be conflicts, whether it's outside conflicts, a customer and us. We may not see things the same way, or, we have 7 or 8 different departments here, across conflicts there, but I think in my experience, because I've worked other places where conflict was a normal part of the job, in some cases I had 250 people reporting to me, and you're going to have a lot of conflicts when you have those people. So the first step I take is really understanding the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people have conflict, but they don't even understand why they have a conflict. So understanding that conflict. The second step is to really focus on the events and the actions, and not the people. Mm-hmm. The worst thing you can do is turn a conflict personal in the workplace. So really understanding, hey, what's our issue here? And, well, let's focus on the actions or the events that we're upset about. Not individuals, but events. Once I do that, then it's really, especially if you have 2 other people you're trying to help through the conflict, is understanding, okay, where are the areas that we agree upon?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about those areas we agree upon, because there's some common ground here. Now let's talk about the areas we disagree. So we have these 2 areas. Once we do that, the agreement allows us to show that we're on common ground here. We're not probably as far off as you think we are. And then once we understand the disagreement, we can set a plan and action of how we're going to achieve common ground for these disagreements here. And then the big key on any of these things is, like any plan you put in, the big key is follow-up.
Yeah.
The worst thing you do is do all this effort and then you never follow up on it, and then you're back to where you were in square one. So that's kind of my normal plan for handling conflicts when they do arise.
Yeah, I really like that approach. If you don't mind me asking, like, where did you learn that?
Well, I couldn't pinpoint to where I've learned it. It's somewhere throughout my life that, one of the companies I work for. Again, I've been fortunate enough that this is probably the smallest company I've ever worked for, and I don't mean that in a negative. I've worked for Fortune 100 companies, and so a lot of that training has come from other places, and
yeah.
I think it's served me well as I, imparted here
yeah.
at a smaller company. So
it's perfect. You play a major role at Innovative Solutions. So what is your role in building cultures with the company?
Well, I think it is a central role, and the reason why it is so central is because I work with all departments. We have, let's say our engineers, for example, they may not necessarily directly work with our contracts folks, or our contracts folks may not necessarily work with our business development folks, or the guys, our manufacturing team may not sit in our business development meetings. Well, I do all those things. I'm intertwined in all those things. So being able to bridge those gaps, because what you find in a lot of organizations is a lot of larger organizations have become siloed. It's not so bad here because thankfully we're small and people know everybody, but you get in a large organization, your business development team never sees the actual, contracts team or vice versa. So my role is to kind of be that liaison or that bridge in between all these departments. And if you would think about a spoke and a wheel, not that I'm important, necessarily more important than those things, but if I'm in the middle and you have all these spokes going to these other departments, I can bridge those gaps. So process the communication to these other departments, because most conflict starts off with poor communication. People don't understand what the other person was really trying to say or do, and that's where your conflict happens. So my responsibility in that is to make sure the communication gets to all the departments so that conflict doesn't happen, and I think that helps build the culture that we have here at Innovative Solutions, and I think it's a good culture.
Yeah.
And kind of continue to push forward that positive culture.
Yeah, perfect. I have one last question for you.
Sure.
So if you were to win $1 billion tomorrow, mm-hmm. and someone else was coming in to take your position, what advice would you give them?
Well, I don't know. I'd stay around long enough if I had $1 billion to give them that advice, Haley. So that's a good question. You know, the biggest advice I would give anybody to do anything is to be yourself. You know, the worst thing you can do is to try to come into any role and try to be somebody you're not. Mm-hmm. People see through that very quickly. Right. You know, that was important for me when I came in. It's, listen, I have a lot of good things to bring to the table, but I also don't have any clue what you're doing here in some areas. So I didn't try to fake that, and I didn't try to – I'm upfront with people. That's the advice I would give to anybody is people are going to respect you more. They can respect the fact that you don't know something if you're willing to admit you don't know that and just be yourself. What people can't respect or won't respect is you try to come in and be something you're not, or try to be smarter than you think you are or smarter than everybody, because the reality is you're never going to be the smartest person in the room on everything. You mm-hmm. may be an expert at some things, but not all things. So just be yourself and things will come to you.
I love it. Well, Josh, I really appreciate the time you took out of your day to do this interview. I've learned a lot from the questions and the answers that you've given me.